The passage that we'll be considering this morning has been at times referred to as the Mount Everest of the Book of Psalms. Practically speaking, it's really a lengthy treatment of the blessed man we see described in Psalm 1, which is why I wanted to have that read this morning. He who delights in the law of the Lord. The Psalm 119 contains multidimensional perfections of the word alongside a model of godliness that's demonstrated by the psalmist, as we will see. Matthew Henry, in comment on this psalm, referred to it as like Solomon's Proverbs, which were gathered out of the psalmist's day book, wherever they happened to be lay scattered, as a chest of gold rings rather than a chain of gold links. He added that he that shall read it considerately, it will either warm him or shame him. Psalm 119 is divided into 22 parts or 22 stanzas, according to the number of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet, with each stanza containing 8 verses. And for this reason, some have referred to this psalm as the saints' alphabet. The idea that we have it as ready in our memories as the very letters of our own alphabet, as ready as our own ABCs. The scope and the purpose of this psalm is to magnify God's law, simply put. In fact, with the exception of verse 122, which we'll get to eventually, every other verse of this psalm makes either a direct or an indirect reference to God's word. This psalm sets forth the proposition that God's words are wholly sufficient. It boldly proclaims that the Scripture alone possesses the supernatural ability to produce every God-intended effect in the soul of man. Nothing is lacking. Everything necessary for the salvation of sinners, everything, and everything necessary for the sanctification of saints is contained and provided for us in Scripture. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The Scriptures make believers equipped for every good deed. So the primary focus of Psalm 119 and the focus of our attention this morning is on God's Word. God's words to us. What do they tell us about Him? What do they tell us about ourselves? Are we capable of really knowing truth? Christianity affirms reason, but divine revelation is the source of all truth. We are given the capacity to know, but first, we are known by our Creator before we can come to know Him by means of this self-revelation. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. They are red like crimson, they will be like wool." We're not called to abandon all sense of reason or thought when we come to this book. We don't check our brains at the door when we come in this place and pick them up when it's time for us to leave. He calls us to reason and to judge and to weigh out the facts of our salvation. The Bible is God's supernatural revelation of Himself. It's God's divine word. It's His message to a lost world. It's a living word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." The Bible isn't a natural book. It's a supernatural book. And it's essential for us, the believers in Him, to have this confidence. It's essential for us to know with certainty what God would have us to know. And in this day and age in which we live, there's so many church attenders seem as ignorant of the Word and of the true and living God as any man on the street. Brothers and sisters, if we don't take seriously what God has revealed to us in His Word, then our concept of God will be sub-biblical, and our worldview will be sub-biblical as well. Concerning Scripture, Martin Luther wrote, "This book is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me." The Bible has life. The Bible imparts life. Psalm 663, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." In 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. So the Bible is a living book. No book is more relevant. No book is more up to date. No book is more fresh and contemporary. It's also a powerful book. It has the power to convict, has the power to console and to comfort. It's full of life-changing power. Isaiah 55, verse 10, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word be which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it." Steve Lawson said, "The Bible judges and exposes and renders God's verdict on the secret thoughts and the inner desires and personal ambitions and the driving motives of our innermost being." He added that God sees into the heart, whether the Word of God opens it or not. But it is the Word of God that opens us up and allows us to see what God sees when God looks into our inner persons. It allows us to see ourselves as God sees us. So having a zealous devotion to His Word and being a powerful force for God are inseparably bound together. The former feeds the latter. One is the root, the other is the fruit. Loving God's Word is the cause, being used by the Lord is the effect. So I pray that this morning we would all take these exhortations to heart. These are timely reminders to us in a day in which we see an effort on the part of many to diminish the authority and the sufficiency of Scriptures. It's pervasive, it's rebellious toward God and toward His precious and magnificent promises that attempt to deny the sufficiency of His Word. Concerning the supernatural power of Scripture, William Wycliffe wrote, "O marvelous power of the divine seed, which overpowers strong men in arms, softens hard hearts, and renews and changes into divine men those men who have been brutalized by sins and had departed infinitely far from God." So with this truth in mind, let us devote ourselves to the study of this divine book, which alone can radically transform our lives. Martin Luther said, "I have made a covenant with God that He sends me neither visions, dreams, nor even angels. I am well satisfied with the gift of the Holy Scriptures, which give me abundant instruction and all that I need both for this life and for that which is to come." So with that, let's turn in our Bibles. If you haven't already, please open your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. So here in the first stanza, right from the start, we see the psalmist declaring the full sufficiency of God's Word in the life of the believer who loves it and obeys it. And we're going to continue to see this theme woven throughout the entire book. And briefly note with me this morning as we get started here, all the various synonyms that are used to describe God's Word here in the first stanza. Verse 1, who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, those who observe His testimonies. Verse 3, they walk in His ways. Verse 4, I have ordained your precepts. Verse 5, keep your statutes. Verse 6, when I look upon all your commandments. Verse 7, when I learn of your righteous judgments and statutes, again in verse 8. So there's 6 or 7 here, and there will be others. So as we go through this psalm, as Tyler mentioned, if it doesn't offend anybody to circle words in your Bible, these would be great words to circle in this particular psalm. But you don't have to do it if you don't want to. Is that right, Tyler? But if you want to, you can. Anyway. Verse 1, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Notice blessed here. Blessed here denotes the overflowing delight, the deep joy, and the real satisfaction for those who follow God's Word. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. Again, verse 1 is repeated, how blessed are those. It's repeated here for emphasis. blessed man. He's highly favored. Verse 3, they also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. God's word directs our steps into the very center of God's will. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. The psalmist is affirming the divine authorship of Scripture. God alone has given it, not man. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This eternal word demands our volitional obedience, not merely head knowledge, not merely emotional feelings. Verse 6, then I shall not be ashamed, I'll look upon all your commandments. God's word will never cause us to be ashamed when we obey it. Notice the synonym, it's commandment, is used here. This word doesn't contain mere suggestions or options to consider. It's full of commands that are to be obeyed. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. Scripture provides singing and rejoicing, true joy, to those who know him and know his word. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. The psalmist concludes this first stanza with this resolve, I shall keep your statutes. He is firm. He is determined in his purpose to keep the word despite circumstances. And he cries out to God for help in this, recognizing his need for divine grace to live out this resolve that he has stated. And in this eighth verse, we also see both sides of this equation where we are commanded to obey, and yet we know in our own strength it's not possible. Remember Philippians 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But, praise God, verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In the second stanza, beginning in verse 9, we see the psalmist extolling the many perfections of God's word, declaring its all-sufficient power to work wonders. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. These verses, we find a most important question. Indeed, the most important question we can ask ourselves. How can a young man, how can a person keep his way pure? The answer is that personal holiness is realized by obeying or living out God's word. Of course, this can only arise from one who has a changed heart. For those who have placed their trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross, for those, the scripture has the sanctifying power to keep us from straying into sin. Verse 12, how blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. The psalmist is appealing to God to teach him his divine decrees so he might obey them. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. As we meditate on the word, we will enthusiastically rejoice. We will delight in it. We will delight in obeying it as one who has found great riches. Verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. With a grateful heart, the psalmist is declaring his unwavering resolution to obey God's word and to keep it for himself. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. He's praying here to God, open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. It's God himself that must grant this divine understanding of his word. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Once we understand God's commandments, we are then to exercise personal obedience. As a result of this, we would be strangers in this world. 1 Timothy tells us that all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We will face opposition. Verse 22, take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. The antidote to persecution? Meditation on God's word. Verse 24, your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. So despite our circumstances, we can find soul-comforting delight in God's testimonies. They are our counselors. We'll come to the fourth stanza, verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. So despite our circumstances, despite being laid low in the dust, as it says here in verse 25, despite our circumstances for holding on to the word of God, it is his divine power that will preserve us through his word. I have told him my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. In order to be preserved by God's word, we don't need to ask. Many of us are memorizing James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 28, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. The road isn't always easy for the believer. God doesn't promise that the path will always be smooth, but he does promise to be with us. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 30, I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you all will enlarge my heart. May this be the determination of our hearts, no matter the cost, that we would choose the faithful way, that we would cling to his testimonies, that we would run the way of his commandments. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Notice again here that it is God through his Spirit who grants the divine illumination into his word, into his statutes, and the understanding of how to keep them. We can only obey what we can understand. And so we pray, God, give me understanding. Verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. So the principle is simple here. Disobedience brings much sorrow, whereas keeping God's commands brings delight. The word alone has the sanctifying power that we need. Verse 38, establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. Again, the word alone has the sanctifying power that we need in this context, that the need we have to see ourselves through dark times. Verse 41, may your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me. For I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. The psalmist here is praying for deliverance, for rescue. The confidence being based on God's loving kindness and his unfailing love that we see throughout his word. Verse 44, so I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. Note here in these verses the wholehearted commitment to God and this fourfold affirmation to keep it, to walk in it, to speak of it openly, to delight in it, and to love it. Verse 48, "And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." This prayer here of deliverance concludes the only way it can, in an act of praise. We find comfort in the hard times as we meditate on his statutes. Psalm 16, verse 7, "I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely." And we come to the seventh stanza, which we'll see testifies to the comfort and strength of God's word in our lives. Verse 49, "Remember the word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me." Our comfort amid deep suffering is found in the promise made by God to revive us. "The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law." Despite the arrogant and the wicked, those who have forsaken God's word, our determination must be to remain devoted. Meditation on God's law, again, brings true comfort. "Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine that I observe your precepts." While encountering affliction, our only real refuge is found in God's law. Our trials ought to serve to deepen our daily practice to obey his precepts. Verse 57. "The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments." Is this our perspective? God, our portion, God, our inheritance? Is our first instinct to turn our feet to his testimonies, to hasten to his commandments? 2 Timothy 2:15 says we are to be diligent, ourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling this word of truth. Verse 61, "The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of all those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." In spite of our persecution, of the cords that we see described here, that may awaken us during the night, because we are shouldn't cause us great stress and sorrow, because we can rely on God's righteous ordinances. Persecution from the world makes fellowship with God even more sweet and more precious. "You have dwelt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments." As God's servants, we go to the Master for discernment. We go to him for knowledge, for understanding. Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." Providential affliction is good when the results return us to the God of the Bible. "The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Even when we are slandered, our heart's desire is to be characterized by one that responds to persecution by being driven back to God's law for refuge. Affliction like this to drive us deeper into the wellspring of life. To delight in his law with the knowledge that the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. The 10th stanza, verse 73. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Note that once again the psalmist is asking for understanding. We see this request continuously throughout this psalm, along with teach me your ways. It's again and again repeated over and over again. The psalmist wants to go to the source of all wisdom and knowledge. This is a recognition of the full sufficiency and authority of the word. We tend to vacillate, change, we can be irresolute. We can only go to the one who made us and fashioned us and pray that he open our eyes and keep us from sweet fellowship with Jesus, our soul's desire. Verse 74, may those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. O may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word to your servant. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. God's laws are righteous altogether. It's when we long for the pure milk of the word that we grow in respect to salvation, and we recognize his unfailing love and promises that bring us comfort. Verse 78, may the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. We can't change the wicked and the arrogant, as described here. Only God can do that. We can only work to ensure that our hearts are blameless in his statutes. Verse 81, my soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word, while I say, when will you comfort me? We've all been there at one time or another. We come to the place and wonder, God, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant when you will execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. When we bear the smoke of fiery trials to the point where they almost destroy me on the earth, we cannot forsake God's precepts. God's word keeps us strong. God's word keeps us resolute. He is faithful. Verse 88, revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. God is faithful. God will preserve his servant. Psalm 31, 23, O love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Verse 24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Obedience to the word preserves us. Whatever our spiritual need, the living hope in the scripture is the answer. Again, these verses bear witness to the all-sufficient power of scripture. It is here where true happiness or true joy is found. Help here is found when we're in need. You've made it halfway through. Half to go. Buckle up. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. God's word is eternal and it's infinite. It's always relevant. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Verse 91, they stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all your perfections. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. God's ordinances is ancient and permanent ordinances that endure throughout all time. And we can take great comfort in this. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can find strength in this. As we contemplate God's word, we more fully realize how boundless his love and his truth really is. Verse 97, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. God's word satisfies completely. It makes us wise. It gives us greater insight, more understanding than the aged, more than those with greater life experience. Why? Or better, when does this happen? As we observe his precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. We're able to stay on God's path because God, through his Holy Spirit, does the teaching. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. God's words are sweeter than honey and give us understanding. When this is our viewpoint, when this is our perspective, we come to despise every false way. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. We find direction in life from God's word. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. And God's word alone truly revives us. Verse 108, O accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. When our confidence is in God and his word, we can praise God even in the midst of painful opposition. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. And is this true in our lives? Is God's word, do we recognize God's word as our inheritance? Is we recognize God's word as our treasure forever? I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. The contrast here couldn't be more obvious. Human wisdom, double-mindedness, capricious, erratic behavior versus God's unchanging word. 1 Peter 1:23 says, we have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. Verse 116, sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked from the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. It's God's word again that sustains us. God's word that gives us confidence, that keeps us safe. On the other hand, God will reject those who reject his decrees. Considering how God will judge the wicked, we should be awestruck and live in wonder, have a deep reverence for for his word. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. And just as a note here, this verse 122 is the only verse throughout this entire psalm that doesn't have a direct reference or an indirect reference to God's word. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. Deal with me according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. And we're going through suffering and trials. May this be our prayer. God, teach me more. God, give me greater understanding. Give me greater discernment. Verse 126, it is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. God's word is the greatest treasure of this life. It alone is more than adequate to direct us into the fullness of God's will. Verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words give light, give understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, after your manner, with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. God's testimonies are truly wonderful. They're a source of real joy. They give understanding. They give discernment. Notice the response here in verse 133 to this truth. God's guidance and grace keep sin from dominating our lives. Verse 134, redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. It is right, it is necessary for us to plead to God for his deliverance from oppression. Pleading with God to reveal himself to us more fully, to teach us what we need to know to endure. Verse 136 asks, how can we be without sorrow when we see how God's word is so hated by men? We have this kind of righteous indignation, this righteous jealousy for God's word. Verse 137, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. God's laws are perfectly right. They are just. They are true. They are equitable and fair. They are fully trustworthy. They contain nothing worthless, only pure truth. Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. Verse 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Despite being brought low, despite being made to feel small because of our enemies, we can remember his precepts. They are righteous because they are absolutely true. Even when being tested, we still have a delight for God's commandments because we know that they are right, that they are forever right. Verse 145, I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. In the midst of affliction, notice the pledge here of the psalmist to remain completely devoted to keeping God's word, regardless of the cost. From early morning to the night, watches, we can find strength as we meditate on God's promises. Verse 150. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have found them forever. God is near. God is always nearer than those who would oppress us. As we establish a pattern of devotion to his word through reading, through study and meditation, memorization, we will be more and more aware of this, of his eternal laws, and enjoy the comfort of his presence even more. Verse 153, look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. As those who seek to keep his law, we can pray for deliverance with confidence. Confidence in his promises. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. God's mercies are indeed great. In spite of his great mercy, there are those who don't seek his statutes. We can only praise God that he has opened our eyes to the wonder of his ordinances, that we can truly understand, experience his great mercy. Verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. The complete sum of God's word is truth. God's word is truth. Scripture alone contains the word of life. John chapter 6, when many of Christ's disciples were deserting him, he asked the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? And Peter, recognizing that Christ was indeed the word incarnate, answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have words of eternal life. We have a great treasure here, words of eternal life. Verse 161, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Our obedience flows from a heart of love for the word, not some kind of mechanical obedience or a legalistic duty. It's a heart's desire. It says here that God sees all of our ways, that God is, that nothing is hidden from his sight. In verse 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you. and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So our lives are to be lived in total obedience on the Lord and His Word. This is to be the motivation for all of our prayers, be total reliance on Him. And God's law, then, is to be our deep delight. The closer we draw to His Word, the more our sinfulness is magnified in our own sight. So we pray, God, seek your servant. So for the child of God, I pray that the complete sufficiency of Scripture be our confidence as we live out our lives here on this earth. The answers that we need for life and godliness are found here. God's Word is potent. God's Word is powerful. In explaining the phenomenon of the Reformation in his day, Martin Luther wrote, "I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's Word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And when I slept," he said, "the Word so greatly weakened the papacy that never a prince or an emperor inflicted such damage upon it. Yet I did nothing. The Word did it all." There are many today who still give assent to biblical authority, but more and more there's a denial that the Bible is totally sufficient. Good principles in there, interesting stories, but it's not fully sufficient. It's not all that we need for life and godliness. James Montgomery Boyce wrote, "Our problem is in deciding whether the Bible is sufficient for the church's life and work. We confess its authority, but we discount its ability to do what is necessary to draw unbelievers to Christ, enable us to grow in godliness, and provide direction for our lives to transform and revitalize society." So the question before us today is, do we really believe that God's Word, when rightly taught and carefully observed, is capable of performing everything necessary to fulfill God's purposes for His church? I believe the answer is irrefutably yes. So how can we see that this is becoming more and more true in our own lives? How can we remain strong when difficulties arise, when opposition comes? Someone pulls out in front of us while we're driving down the road to get in a hurry to get somewhere, like we heard a week or two ago. How can we abide by those commands of God that we find uncomfortable or difficult? Perhaps some we heard last week. It's truly impossible in our own strength. But we're not left to our own strength. We have the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have God's divine word to us. 1 John 4:4 says of believers, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." With His enabling strength, we have the ability to obey God's commandments, even those that get us out of our comfort zone. And it's by virtue of His empowering Spirit. 1 John 3:24 says, "The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. We know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." And we praise God that He has given us both His Word, which provides all that we need for life and godliness, and His Spirit, which gives us the wisdom to know, to understand, and to obey it. Let's pray. Father, I just want to acknowledge again how grateful we are for your great word, that you have not left us to ourselves, but you have given us all that we need. You are the God of truth. Thank you for your holy scriptures, for these precepts and promises, directions and light, and that through them we may learn more of Christ, that we will be able to retain His truth. We also have the grace to obey it. Help us to lift up the gates of our soul, that He may come in and show us Himself when we search the Scriptures, for we have no other way of knowing. By His aid, we will be able to explore all the truths, to love the truths with all our hearts, to embrace them with all of our strength. They'd be a part of our very being. I pray that you will enable us to be diligent to show ourselves approved, so that all the glory from that would flow to you and to your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.